Chapter 8. Farewell. Laurie graduated from college with honors, and everyone attended his ceremony. His grandfather, Mr. and Mrs. March, John and Meg, Joe and Beth. Laurie had made up his mind to express his feelings for Joe after graduating, and she knew it was coming. Joe was on her way home from visiting Meg's when she saw Laurie approaching her. They walked along slowly together for a bit before Joe said hastily, "Now you must have a good long holiday. You deserve it, Teddy." "I intend to," he replied, looking at Joe. Joe knew the moment had come. "No, Laurie, please don't say it." "I will, and you must hear me. I've loved you ever since I've known you, Joe. I've tried to show it, but you wouldn't let me. Now you must hear it and give me an answer, for I can't go on like this any longer." "I never wanted to make you care for me, and I went away to keep you from it if I could," said Joe quickly. "I thought so, but I only loved you more, and I worked hard this past year to please you. I gave up billiards because I know you don't like it, and I waited and never complained, for I hoped you'd love me, even though I'm not half good enough." "Yes, you are. You are a great deal too good for me, and I'm so grateful to you and so proud and fond of you. I don't see why I can't love you as you want me to. I've tried, but I can't change my feelings."
"Really and truly, Joe?" Laurie then asked.
"Really and truly, dear Teddy," answered Joe. "I'm so sorry, so very sorry." There was a long pause, and the only sound was birds and the tall grass moving in the wind. "Laurie, I want to tell you something."
"Don't tell me that, Joe. Don't tell me that you love that old man."
"What old man?" demanded Joe.
"That old professor you're always writing about in your letters."
Joe wanted to laugh, but stopped herself. She said, "He isn't old, or anything bad, but a good, kind man and the best friend I have next to you. I have no intention of loving him, nor anyone else for that matter."
"But you will after a while," replied Laurie.
"You'll love someone else one day, too, and forget about all of this trouble."
"I can't love anyone else, and I'll never forget you, Joe."
"I agree with Mother that we're not suited for one another. We have quick tempers and strong characters, and would make each other miserable. So let's just be good friends all our lives." It was very hard to turn Laurie away, her best friend of many years, but she knew that she had to do it. Laurie persisted, but it was of no use. Finally, Joe said, "I've done my best, but you won't be rational. I will always be fond of you, very fond indeed, but as a friend. I will never marry you, and the sooner you believe it, the better for both of us." Laurie looked at Joe as if he didn't know what to say, but then turned away and said, "You'll be sorry someday, Joe." That evening, Laurie sat with his grandfather. Mr. Lawrence knew what had happened because Joe told him the whole story. "I'm disappointed that the union won't happen, but the girl can't help it. The only thing for you to do is to go away for a time." "Where will you go?" asked Mr. Lawrence.
"Anywhere. I don't care what becomes of me," answered Laurie.
"Take it like a man, and don't do anything rash," replied his grandfather. "Why not go abroad, as you planned? You've wanted to go for ages, and I promised you should when you got through college."
"Ah, but I didn't mean to go alone," said Laurie, pacing around the room.
"I don't ask you to go alone. There's someone who's ready to go anywhere in the world with you."
"Who, sir?" asked Laurie, stopping to hear the answer.
"Myself," his grandfather said with a smile. When it was time for Laurie and his grandfather to depart for their trip, Laurie pretended to be happy to conceal his true emotions. He quickly embraced everyone, even Hannah, and ran out of the March house toward the waiting carriage. Joe followed after a minute to wave to him if he looked back at the house. He did, and then he came back. He put his arms around Joe and looked at her.
"Oh, Joe, can't you?"
"Teddy, dear, I wish I could."
"It's all right, never mind," replied Laurie. He then went away without another word. Jo did mind, and for a while she felt as if she had stabbed her dearest friend. She knew that the boy Laurie would never come for her again. After Laurie left to go abroad, Jo felt as if she had no one left, but luckily Beth was still at home. However, since Jo had returned from New York, she had noticed a change in Beth. Perhaps no one at home noticed the gradual change in dear Beth, but Jo's absence allowed her to recognize it. Beth wasn't paler or thinner, but she now had a strange, colorless look to her, as if her life was slowly slipping away. One day, while visiting a town by the beach, where Jo was sure the fresh air would help Beth, Beth told Jo her secret. Jo lay looking at her sister's thin cheeks and hands, thinking Beth was asleep. It came to her then that Beth was slowly drifting away from her, and she wrapped her arms around her sister. For a minute, Jo's eyes were wet with tears, and when they cleared, she saw Beth looking at her. "Jo, dear, I'm glad you know," said Beth quietly. "I've known for a while now, and I'm used to it. Try to see it so, and don't be troubled about me, because it's okay." "Is this why you were so unhappy in the autumn, Beth, before I went to New York?" "Yes, I gave up hoping then. When I saw you all so well and strong and full of happy plans, it was hard to feel that I would be like you." "Oh, Beth, you didn't tell me. How could you shut me out and bear it all alone?" asked Jo. "Perhaps it was wrong, but I wasn't sure, and I hoped I was mistaken. It would have been selfish to frighten you all." "I don't care about anyone else now but you, Beth. You must get well." "I want to, oh so much. I try, but every day I lose a little and feel sure that I will never gain it back." 19 is too young, Beth. I can't let you go," cried Jo. Jo wished more than anything in the world to find a way to keep Beth alive and healthy, but Beth knew that it wasn't up to her or anyone else anymore. "You'll tell the family, Jo?" asked Beth. "I think they will see it without words," sighed Jo, for now it seemed to her that Beth changed a little more every day. "Jo, dear, don't hope any more. It won't do any good, I'm sure of that. We won't be miserable. Let's enjoy being together while we wait. We'll have happy times, for I don't suffer very much." When the sisters returned home, Jo was right that there was no need for words, as their father and mother plainly saw that Beth was dying.